You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Pasha Shalach, we have the unfortunate episode of the Meraglim described with tremendous description and the consequences of what happened with what I would call the failure of the Meraglim's mission. And I want to spend a couple of minutes today on emphasizing some critical points Chazal point out that they derive from this specific situation, and to accentuate some phenomena that seem to be incomprehensible, but nevertheless a certain reality check of the world we live in, and ultimately an understanding of the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only on a universal level, but specifically a relationship between Klaus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a very, very personal level, as the Am Segula and the Am Hanivcha, that Hashem gave us that title, that mission, and the Torah that's related to it in Maamar Har Sinai, which we read about a couple of weeks ago. And when you look at Pasha Shalach, the simple storyline over here is that Klal Yisrael were en route after Maamar Har Sinai, after the Mishkan was built. They were literally en route to go and enter Eretz Israel as quickly as they possibly could. When it comes to the various Lashonos of Geula mentioned in Pashas Va'era, with the four of them that we relate to the Dalek Kosos, relate to Klaus are going from Mitzrayim all the way to Maamar Har Sinai, and the four Lashonos mentioned basically depict that connection between the Shibud Mitzrayim, Yisias Mitzrayim, Geulas Mitzrayim, and the ultimate completion of Klaus's metamorphosis becoming the Am HaNivchar, and that is what happened at Har Sinai when we said Naaseh V'Nishma, and Hashem gave us two crowns, and literally Klaus became the Am Segula, Mamlechas Koinim V'Gei Kadosh, etc., etc. Theoretically, after the phenomenon took place, and Moshe went up to learn Kol HaTorah Kula, so he could disseminate it to Klal Yisrael, as when it comes to giving daily shiurim, we had, unfortunately, the terrible episode of the Egel Hazav, which momentarily endangered the existence of Klal Yisrael. Ultimately, Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael, Salachit Kavarecha, as he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, after Moshe's Tfilais, and the mission of Klal Yisrael going forward, and the concept of constructing the Mishkan, also Mitzvah Shchanti B'Seicham, and the ultimate trek to finally end up in Eretz Israel, which, if you look in Pashas Va'era, were two more Lashonos of Geula, that Klal Yisrael were going to be brought into Eretz Israel. It was going to be given to them as a nachla, as an inheritance. It ultimately was called a Meirasha, the heritage of the Jewish people, which I'll get to more of very shortly. And that was the agenda that was supposed to take place, and therefore they would have entered Eretz Israel in a pretty quick time frame after Maamar Har Sinai. And if you didn't have the problem of the Chet Egel first, and then the rebellion of the Meraglim and Parshas Shalach, which we're going to be discussing this morning. Now, what is interesting, on one hand, is that Claudius made the request to send people to research the land, search out Eretz Israel, to see what's going to confront them before they involve themselves in military combat in conquering Eretz Israel. They knew that, ultimately speaking, they were going to have to fight a military combative war against the Shiva Amim and the seven Canaanite nations that inhabited Eretz Israel. The Rabbi Shem already told them that if the Canaanites that were living there want to remain in their idolatrous perspective, and they don't want to become a Geotesha, which means to become a Frum Ben Noach, not worshipping Avodah Zarah and observing Zayim Mitzvahs, which if they would have willing to become this, they could have stayed in Eretz Israel and joined the Jewish state that was going to be created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if they didn't want to do tshuva, they had an option of leaving Eretz Israel. But they were given a third option, that is, if you don't want to do tshuva and become Geir Teshuv, you don't want to leave the land, you have to realize that we're going to be confronted by a military conflict between us, the Jewish people, together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and yourselves. And we want you to realize that if that happens, Hachrim Tachrimim, there's going to be ultimate destruction of your entire group of nations living there. So we're giving you a chance at Bechiras Chavshes to choose the right choice. Unfortunately, the majority, 99% of them, chose the wrong choice to stay put, maintain the idolatrous position, and basically show their unwillingness to, quite obviously speaking, do tshuva. And that happened later on in the Tekufa of Yeshua. But Klal Yisrael realized that there's very, very good likelihood that they're not going to want to do tshuva, and therefore a war is going to have to take place. Now, there's a machlokus amongst the Rishonim, just to set the tone over here, whether Klal Yisrael were allowed to even request that they should be able to make a reconnaissance mission. Search it out, see what's going on, see what you're going to be confronting, and then bring back a report, a total report. Later on, the Torah tells us that they were given guidelines, what to look for, what to see, what to analyze, and then what to bring back when it comes to information to us about our future phenomenon of Kibush Eretz Israel. What's also interesting is that each matah was supposed to send a representative, Kolonosi Behem, they were supposed to send people of high stature to basically go and to make this analysis and come back and give the information over to the Jewish people. The names of these Nesiim, of these heads of the Shvatim, were enumerated in the Torah itself. And the mission took place. According to many Rishonim, they were of the opinion that the Rabbanu Shalom really didn't plan for them to do this mission. And after seeing all the miracles Hashem performed for them up until this point in time, and there were a lot of miracles that they witnessed, of Shini HaTeva, the miracles of the Makos, the miracles of Kriyas Yamsuf, the Mon, the Be'er Mayim, Anani HaKavod. What they saw was simply incredible. Should have been a Dardeya, the miracles of Kabbalah Satera. So there's a lot they saw when it comes to Hashem's Keches of literally overpowering and being Meshana the Teva on behalf of Klal Yisrael. In fact, that was one of the Haftachos, the Bris Bein HaBesarim, that we're not going to be conducting our life as a nation B'derech HaTeva. Klal Yisrael will always be L'mayla M'derech HaTeva. And therefore, we won't be subject to masalas and all different types of human inhibitions that most nations are subject to. And they realized that, and they had witnessed and experienced it since their time of the Geula from Mitzrayim up until this point in time. Therefore, many Rishonim and Rashi amongst them are of the opinion that it was because they made the request to search out the land before they go, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu acquiesced, because he had no reason not to let them see it beforehand. He was in total control, and he felt, therefore, there's nothing that's going to negatively impact upon them for them to be unhappy or change their mind, after all he promised them, an Eretz Avas Chalav Udavash, a very special place to be. So, but according to Rashi and his group of Rishonim, they really shouldn't have made the request. They should have had Emunah B'Tachan and gone forward, and everything would have been wonderful and fine, miraculous, as their existence was up until this point in time. But there is another group of Rishonim, the Ramban, Rabbeinu Bachya, who hold that basically, technically speaking, you could be Malamed Zchus on some level, because the fact of the matter is, there are psukim in the Torah that tell us that you always have to conduct yourself b'derech ha-teva in all that you do in this world. HaTorah ain't simcha unless we don't rely upon miracles to help us unless it's ultimately necessary. And they bring a pasuk in fact from Sefer Mishlei, Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar brings it in this pasha, where he says, Sus muchon liyam ha-mechama v'la Hashem ha-tshuva, that you have to prepare the horses and the ammunition and the cavalry and the chariots and all the armaments you need to fight a war, get everything ready, make everything prepared. That's Ishtalas b'derech ha-teva. Sus muchon liyam ha-mechama, prepare the horses and everything else for the day of the war. But ultimately realize, La Hashem ha-tshuva, the success of this warfare, the success of your battle, will depend upon the Ratzon Hashem with Siyata Deshmaya that you're going to get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that point in time, which means that we have to Mishtadlo B'Derech HaTeva to prepare ourselves, to do what we have to do to save ourselves, protect ourselves, and get our agenda accomplished. But even though we're not supposed to be Samech al Nes, we're ultimately supposed to believe our ultimate success in the endeavor depends upon the Siyata Deshmaya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Hashem HaTshua. And Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar says that applies to treating a person who's sick with a disease. It applies to, quite obviously, fighting wars. It applies to all the things we do in this world. We have to Mishtadlo B'Derech HaTeva. And therefore, the request to send Meragbim to spy out the land, to see the territorial configuration, and therefore get a good idea when you're about to fight a war, how to apportion the soldiers who are part of your army, how to set up your actual tactics in warfare to conquer that place. This is requiring B'Derech HaTeva to do this, but ultimately to believe our success will depend upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Siyata Deshmaya. So there are, I will admit, two different approaches amongst Chazal of exactly how Klai Yisrael were supposed to prepare for this war, whether the Maragbim was something that was supposed to be done with Chachila, as the Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar says in his group, or it was a B'de'evit as a reaction to Klal Yisrael's personal request, which is Rashi and his group of Rishonim. But as we get into the Pasha a little further, other problems ultimately started to take place, which require some very important analysis at this point in time. Everybody has learned Pasha Shalach, has read through Pasha Shalach many, many times over the years. And you know as well as I do when you read the storyline over here is that the Meraglim, in fact, did go on this specific mission, this reconnaissance mission. And there were 12 Meraglim. Two of them were Yehoshua and Kalev. And then the other 10 were representing the rest of Klal Yisrael. And what ultimately happened is that when they finally returned at the end of 40 days from this very extensive reconnaissance mission, the fact is when they came to give their report to Moshe and to Klal Yisrael, they did have to admit in the beginning, V'yisapru lo v'yom abonu eretz asher shalachtanu v'gam zavascha lo v'davash v'zeh piriyah. We admit it's a beautiful, wonderful, productive land. All the praises and all the statements of how great this land is definitely 100% true. There's no question that it's an Eretz Zavascha Lo V'Davash, which later on the Torah in Pashyos and Sefer Devarim are marach upon. You won't miss anything in Eretz Yisrael. Has everything you can possibly need on the face of this earth for physical benefits and spiritual benefits. But then we came to the critical turning point in this episode. And that is, and unfortunately, in Perek Yud Beis, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Ches and on, Ephes ki'am ha'yeshebav orim b'tzuras gedolos m'od gam yulid de'anir k'rinu sham Amalek's there, this one's there, and that one's there. And quite obviously, they basically came to a opinion. And what did they say? L'mnucha lalas am ki'chazaku mimenu v'yotzi dibas aresh asher toro ba b'nei Yisrael. Which means to say, They told the Jewish people, 10 of the 12 spies, we're in Gehakta Tzaris. We can't conquer the people who live there. The cities are too well fortified. The people are too big, too strong. We don't have the capacities. The land itself is not an easy place to live, despite its resources. And if that's the case, they basically gave the impression to Klal Yisrael, 10 of them, that there's no possibility for us to capture this land. We must, might as well give up the idea. And they caused Klal Yisrael to cry, Balayla Hahu, etc., etc. But this was the terrible, terrible sin of the Meraglim, convincing the Jewish people were incapable of capturing, inheriting, and living in Eretz Israel. And the inference that they basically said over here in the Parsha, the Lashon, which Chazal could obviously take note of, is that when they basically said that this specific place is a difficult place to conquer, they also alluded to Ki Chazak Hu Mimenu, as Chazal point out, that we don't even think HaKadosh Baruch has the capacity, the omnipotence to bring us into this land and allow us to succeed. That was a major, major turning point. And the ones who basically countered that were Yehoshua ben Nun and Caleb ben Yefunah. They absolutely rejected what the other 10 spies said. And they basically said that it's totally, totally untrue. As far as we are concerned, we're of the opinion that we are going to be able to conquer the land. It's an Eretz Teva Ma'od, and Chafetz Hashem Banu, Hevi Asano Eretz Hazos, and the Son Alano Eretz Asher, He's Davash Chalavu Davash. If Hashem says He's giving it to us, He's going to give it to us, I'll make sure we're able to conquer it. Ach Hashem Al Timro, don't rebel against Hashem. Don't be fearful of the people who live there. And quite obviously, this became a major kitrug against the Jewish people. It was such a kitrug that Hashem wanted momentarily to destroy Klal Yisrael for this type of merida. Ultimately, Hashem made a gezeira that for the next 40 years, the generation of the Midbar from a certain age calibration were not going to be able to live. And they're going to die in the next 40 years. So they were basically stalled in Yerushalayim Eretzel for another 40 years. And ultimately speaking, when it came to even entering Eretz Israel later on, Moshe was not going to lead them in. Yeshua was going to lead them in, which finally happened. And ultimately speaking, this crying about not being able to capture the land and believing the Meraglim ended up being on Tisha B'Av, which Chazal had set the motion in place that Tisha B'Av became a day of avelos, of mourning, a day of kitrug, of ultimate statements of divine wrath and anger by the Bezdin Shamal against Klal Yisrael. It became a Yom Ra, a day of paranuyas for Klal Yisrael, as the Rambam says later on. And that's why when tragedies happen to Klal Yisrael and all later generations, thousands of years later, Churban Bayis Rishon, Churban Bayis Sheni took place on Tisha B'Av itself. And that Yom Paranios is unfortunately still commemorated today in the 3 weeks leading up to Tisha B'Av. And we're still suffering the consequences of this rebellion. But the question arises, what these Meraglim saw, Yehoshua and Kalev also saw. Why is it that Yeshua and Kalev did not possess the fear and trepidation of the other Meraglim? What allowed them to succeed and to overcome any fear that might have been generated and to mechazek Klal Yisrael that we will be successful and conquer and get in there. And at the end of the 40 years, Yeshua did bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, and they conquered the entire land. When you read Sefer Yeshua, you see how they conquered everything. And Kalev also was a major participant in the Kibush Eretz Yisrael. Later on, Kalev got the whole area of Chevron as a matana for his specific Nachla in Eretz Yisrael. So we see that those Maraglim that were true and dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kalev Yefuna and Yeshua ben Nun, survive this terrible tragedy of the rebellion of the Maraglim and succeeded in leading Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. The rest of the Maraglim and their generation passed away, and a new brand, no generation, that were born and grew in the Midbar were going to be the ones to enter Eretz Yisrael at the proper time 40 years later on. What did Yeshua and Kalev possess to allow them to literally not be concerned with what the Maraglim mentioned? And what gave them the zuchuyot and the ability not only to go to Eretz Yisrael, but to lead Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael and succeed in being kovesh the entire land of Eretz Yisrael from beginning to end? Not only do we have the Kibush Eretz Yisrael, we finally had the division of Eretz Yisrael amongst the Shvatim. Just read Sefer Yeshua and you'll see all the phenomena mentioned over there, all the miracles that took place, miracles Sholei B'derech HaTeva, incredible miracles from the beginning of the destruction of Yericho miraculously to the end of the Kibush of Eretz Yisrael. So what was this special secret of Yehoshua and Kalev that gave them the ability to be the leadership that continued and fulfilled the mission of Klal Yisrael getting Eretz Yisrael as the Yerusha V'Nachla, as the Marasha later on? Let me share with you a perception that I heard once from Rav Soloveitchik, and it's based upon the Rambam and other sources as well. So listen very carefully to the approach I'm going to share with you this morning. What they point out is that when Yeshua and Kalev were part of this mission, this reconnaissance mission, two interesting things happened. One to Yeshua and one to Kalev, as they began to be the appointees and to be the participants in this ultimate mission of reconnaissance. First of all, the Torah tells us that Moshe had a divine message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to change Yeshua's name. His initial name was Hoshea ben Nun. Hashem changed it to Yehoshua ben Nun, added a Yud. And Chazal have a Medrash Halacha upon this. The Medrash Halacha is, why was he called now Yehoshua? Hashem should be matzil you, should save you from the Atzas Maraglim, from the negative counseling of the other Maraglim, where Hashem, whose Reis HaNoilet, saw that they're going to come back with a negative report. Yeshua should maintain his emun and bitachon and not be influenced by them, and maintain his steadfast statement that if Hashem wants to succeed, we'll go, we'll conquer. In fact, he had the schus to take over the leadership of Klal Yisrael for Moshe Rabbeinu and lead us into Eretz Yisrael and be the actual leader there until he passed away at the end of Sefer Yehoshua. So there was a change of name. Ka should be basically save you from Atzas Maraglim. The name of Hoshea changed to Yehoshua had a major impact, because names can have a major impact upon a person from their time of birth to the time they die. And the Shina Hashem did have an impact upon Yehoshua. What, why? We'll see very shortly. When it came to Kalev, what made him have the ability to oppose the craziness of the other Maraglim? Chazal tell us that when they entered Eretz Yisrael, Kalev told the rest of the Maraglim, he's taking a momentary detour. Chazal said he went to Chevron He went to the Kever of the Yavos, to Maros HaMachpelah. He davened at the Kever of Tzadikim, of the forebears of Klal Yisrael, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and the Noshim Sidkanyos, the same burial place that Adam and Chava were buried after they died in the earlier part of Bereis Olam. He davened by the Kever Avos. And that, Chazal tell us, was a major factor when it comes, ultimately speaking, to giving him the chizuk and the ability to not be impacted and influenced by the other Meraglim, and to be able to maintain his stance that if Hashem wants us to succeed, we will be able, Yachonucha, will be able to overpower all the opposition and succeed in Kibush Eretz Yisrael. In fact, when it came to Kibush, Kalev conquered one of the most difficult parts of Eretz Yisrael, where there were people who were very strong, who were giants, who were very powerful, and despite the opposition militarily, he conquered them and got those land tracts as his Yerusha Nachla in Eretz Israel. So Kalev also had some special Siyata Dishmaya. What I want to now fine-tune for you is what was the meaning of the name change of Yeshua, what was the meaning of Kalev going to Kever Avos, that literally gave them the Siyata Dishmaya to literally offset the Meraglim's concern and be filled with 100% Emunah V'Bitachon, that we will have no problem in conquering Eretz Yisrael, making it our homeland without any hindrances whatsoever. So let me share to you with you what Soloveitchik said, and I hope you remember it when you hear the Pasha read this coming Shabbos, because this is a very, very important Musa Shmuz that I want to share with you now. Listen very carefully as I present it to you. What I point out is that when it came to the concept of Kalei first, he went to Keva Avos, Avram Yisav Yaakov's Keva, and he prayed there that Hashem should give him the proper Siyata Deshmaya to succeed in his mission. So Chazal tell us, what's the significance, what's the symbolism? The symbolism is that one of the major sources of Klal Yisrael's ability to survive throughout the generations, I've talked about this many, many times over the years, I've been giving my shiurim to you, and I pointed out to you the most important promises that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave to Klal Yisrael about our resiliency, our capacity to survive against all odds, our ability to live a life l'mayla midarech hateva, and ultimately the promise of our Yerusha Yeshiva of all of Eretz Yisrael for the Jewish people. All those concepts were given as a bris avos, the covenant Hashem made with our forefathers in Sefer Bereishis, which is called the bris bein habesarim. And in that bris bein habesarim, the Ribbono Shel Olam spelled out to Klal Yisrael through the avos, the bris avos, that Eretz Yisrael is going to be your property.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Your ultimate heritage, your inheritance, for all generations to come till the end of time. That was a very, very powerful promise to them. In fact, the Torah delineated all the areas where the Canaanites were living and what's going to be given to Klal Yisrael later on. But Hashem also promised that ultimately speaking, in that same bris bein habesarim, you're not going to live in this world and survive in this world as Klal Yisrael b'derech hateva. Everything that's going to happen to you is going to be l'mayla midarech hateva, literally against all laws of nature. Nothing will be able to overpower you as a nation. No great nation on the face of this earth, superpowers, Babylonia, Persia, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, no major empire in world history will ever have the power to destroy the Jewish people. We will continue to exist. And those who seek to destroy us try to commit all types of acts of genocide against us. They will not succeed. Hashem will be our magen, our shield. And when you fight battles for survival, the mekayim mitzvos Hashem, like kibush Eretz Israel, don't gotta worry. Don't worry about fortified cities. Don't have to be worried how big the soldiers are on the other side, how well supplied with arms they might be, how fortified the cities might be. Your powers of fighting a war will always be lemala miderech hateva, above the laws of natural law. In your wars, you will fight wars that literally, in retrospect, are miraculous, historical in nature, and will never be replicated by any nation on the face of this earth. It's not only the wars against the four major maluchos I mentioned before, but when you look at the wars, not only Hanukkah in its time during Bayis Sheni, but the wars even after Churban Bayis Sheni, the wars of Eretz Yisrael we had after 1948, when the world at large, through the UN vote, gave us the right to return to Eretz Yisrael as a national right to the Jewish people to fulfill the promises of God to them in the Bible. That when that happened and we were attacked by the entire Arab world, who had the most sophisticated weaponry on the face of this earth, they also had armies in the millions and millions and millions, and they wanted to attack the little fledgling Jewish state that just was officially declared a Jewish state and thought they could annihilate us within a couple of days. And so did the anti-Semites, even in the American government. The State Department told us to Truman, it's just going to be a couple of days and the Israeli-Jewish problem will be resolved. What happened was, it didn't happen that way. And 2 years later on, the Arabs begged for an armistice. We won that war of liberation. We won the war of capturing Eretz and restoring it to become the Jewish homeland. How many nations do you know had the ability to have an attack from all sides and win the war in 6 days, the Six-Day War? Is there any other nation that ever had a six-day war against so many oppressors from all sides? These are all miracles shalei b'derech hateva. It's part of the bris bein habesarim. It's part of the haftacha. Shebechol dor v'dor oimdim aleinu lechaloseinu v'hakadosh baruch hu matzileinu miyadam. It's for this reason that Kalev ran to the keva of the Avais, those who were the initial recipients of the bris bein habesarim, and prayed that all the haftachas made to Klal Yisrael that they received on our behalf should be fulfilled at this point in time, especially when it comes to our kibush of Eretz Yisrael, despite what we will see, despite the potential fears we might have, it should be totally irrelevant, and we should be able to do what we have to do to bring Eretz Yisrael under the tutelage and under the sphere of ownership of HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvaydai u'b'atzmai. So we therefore see halacha l'masa what exactly HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told us he wants to see done. He wants to see what happened. And Kalev was praying to the Keva Avais, and the Schus of the Avais, and the Schus of the Tfilos of our Avais who are buried here, who are going to pray for us, we should succeed in our ultimate mission. When it came to Yeshua, the fact that a Yud was added to his name, and he now was called Yehoshua, and Chazal Darshan, Yeshua stands for Moshe giving him this name by Hashem's command. Ka Yoshiachem Yatzis Meraglim, that God should protect you from the Eitzah, Hara of the Meraglim. So the Rav pointed out, the word Ka is true, it's Hanem Shem's name, but it was used before. If you go back historically to Klal Yisrael's ultimate trek in the Midbar, as we were coming close and closer to Har Sinai, to Mekabel the Torah, the last major phenomenon that took place at the end of Parshas Beshalach, where a force decided, the Amalekim, to try to destroy us and prevent us from our Hisnachlus to Eretz Israel, and ultimately having the ability, quite obviously speaking, to inherit Eretz Israel, we have the Pasha of Amalek. Vayava Amalek Vayachim Yisrael Berefidim. And over here, once again, Yeshua was told by Moshe to pick a group of tzaddikim to fight their war against the Amalekim. Moshe Aaron v'chur prayed for them. Klal Yisrael prayed for themselves. And ultimately speaking, we were mezgaber over Amalek at that point in time. And we were able to win that minimal war momentarily. And the Rabban Hashem said, after allowing Klal Yisrael to defeat Amalek at that moment in time and go on with the mission to inherit Eretz Israel, he said, Zos, I want you to take this as episode. Because of Zos, Sikaron B'Sefer, and what should it be? Should be none. Kimach Emcha Ezech Amalek. I wanted to know Amalekim and all the other anti-Semites of world history. They're going to have a sinna against us, a sinna schinam, on all levels. And are going to try to destroy us and annihilate us. Do not worry. Because ultimately the Muhammad of the Gaim and anti-Semitism is not only against you, the Jews. Vayomer kiyod al kes ka. Their hand is against the God of Israel. The ultimate Ribbono Shalom. And if that's the case, they're trying to fight a war with me. You're just the means with which they're trying to accomplish this. Milchama v'Hashem b'Amalek midor l'dor. Hashem will have the war with them to the end of time. But don't worry, Hashem says. Yeshua is told, Kimoch emcha ezech Amalek. I'm going to be the one to eradicate these anti-Semitic personalities over thousands of years from the face of the earth until anti-Semitism is totally eradicated at the end of time when it comes to Bias Mashiach Tzidkenu and the ultimate Geula. The eradication of anti-Semitism, the eradication of the opposition to the Jewish people on all different types of levels, against us as a people, against us as a world religion, as a power, having a unique relationship with God. Hashem says, you can't get rid of anti-Semitism, but that's not your job. Your job is Timchas Eich Amalek, which we read in Pasha Zachar, to kill Amalekim who want to kill you, to protect yourselves. Habol HaGecha Hashkin V'Hargo, remember who Amalek is and what their agenda is. Don't be fooled by them. And therefore, when they are about and ready to attack you, you have to fight a war. B'molcha Amalek. We see a realization of this happening before our eyes in the story of Esther Hamalka and Mordechai, what happened in Persia with the Amalekim of that environment with Haman, wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael, and Napachu, when Hashem changed it, we killed the Amalekim with the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem Siyata D'Shmaya, and won that war, and afterwards entered Eretz Israel and rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdash. So Hashem said to Moshe, let Yeshua hear in his ears, and know in his name, that Muhammad Hashem ba'Amalek, that the Muhammad Hashem is against Amalek, Yod al-Kes Ka, and that means Hashem's name Ka, the koyach of Hashem's name, and the power of the omnipotence of Hashem will be joined to Yeshua's name, that Hashem will give him siyata d'shmaya, tremendous divine supervision and kochos, to overpower the most formidable enemies we might have, to be able to overcome the greatest odds of Rabba Miad Miyatim. Chazakim will be destroyed by Chalashim. The power of our koyach, of the Ama Nivchar, this itself was given to Yeshua to remember that Hashem is behind the scenes, giving him the power, the leadership kochos, to overcome every opposition on the face of this world. We momentarily defeated the microcosm of Amalek at that time in Rephidim, and the macro of Amalek will be destroyed at the end of time by HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvod v'atzma moch em chazech Amalek. That will be finished when we come to Yemos HaMashiach. This is what Yeshua had in his mind. And once he realized Hashem was fighting on our behalf, Hashem yolachem v'atem tachrishun, let Hashem fight, and you just keep quiet. Do what you have to do. You saw, you go through the ocean, you go through the Yamsuf, and I'll do what has to be done to fight off the Egyptians at that time and other nations who are threatening your existence. This is what Yeshua was given as his chizuk. His name was changed to remind him of that promise in Parsha B'Shalach. And therefore, that's what gave Yeshua the ability to say, Yochanocho, there's no problem. We will overpower our adversaries in Eretz Israel. We have Hashem behind us, Hashem with us. And therefore, we will conquer and literally inherit Eretz Israel. The two, therefore, Musa Shmuzim, that we come from this specific whole drush over here, is to realize at the end of the day that the Keichas we have as Klal Yisrael in this world ultimately is under the Hashgacha Pratis of the Rabbi Neshala. And unfortunately, a lot of people in the world of Judaism don't understand what Hashem wanted the Jews to be able to not only live and survive and flourish in this world, but bedafka that we should inherit Eretz Israel and have it as our unique Jewish homeland, not to be shared by any other nation on the face of this earth. What's so special about Eretz Israel? And once again, how does this relate, going back to the Chet of the Meraglim, and to show you the actual chimer, the severity of their specific rebellion? So I want to share with you one more piece of information which will bring all the pieces of this presentation together. Chazal tell us that Eretz Israel is a very unique place. The Torah describes in Eretz Avaschalav Devash, a land shalachsechs about Koldover, something, a land that doesn't lack any type of physical pleasure or physical need you might have in this world. So Eretz Israel has the resources. The clients can flourish there on a physical level. But what many Jews do not realize, and even though they might be proud of Eretz Israel's accomplishments now, in the physical realm of existence, with our technological brilliance and our medical brilliance and all the other things we're doing when it comes to showing our brilliance as an Am Chacham and Am Novain in the physical, secular, scientific world and technological world in which we live, there's another dimension why Hashem wanted us to live in Eretz Israel. The Pasuk says later on in Akev, Eretz Israel is the only place on the face of this earth. Ein Hashem Elokecha. But the eyes of God, the divine supervision of Hashem is in the land of Eretz Israel. Mitchilas Hashan Atzeif Hashan, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, which is interpreted by the Rambam, and others, that there's a unique Hashgacha Pratis, divine providence, that it was given to Eretz Israel when it comes to God's divine supervision, different than any other place on the face of this earth, and different from any other place in this entire solar system in which we live. Eretz Israel is the only place that has exclusive, direct hashgacha pratis between the people who live in Eretz Israel and HaKadosh Baruch Hu above. There are no divine intermediaries, malachim, or anything else intervening there. The Shefa that comes to Eretz Israel in a physical level and on a spiritual level come directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo b'atzmo. The land is full of God's divine presence. It's full of Hashem's divine Shechina. The 10 levels of Kedusha, the Mishnah says, that exist in Eretz Israel. The highest level of Kedusha, quite obviously, is in Yerushalayim, on the Har HaBayis, where the Beis HaMikdash was built, where Klaus were brought Kerbanos. That's where you have the intensity of the Kedush HaKedoshim, and the Shechina that permeated the Makam HaMikdash was there in that specific place, that specific spot. That was the hot spot of the most intense Hashgacha Pratis God had in this world. And he wanted the Jewish people, his Am HaNivcha, to be the ones who are therefore able to use that Kedusha, that sanctity of Hashem Shechina, with Siyata Deshmaya, to be Dovuk to Hashem on the highest level. Human beings able to be Dovuk with Hashem's divine help, the Siyata Deshmaya of the Shechinas Hashem that resides in all parts of Eretz Israel, and especially in Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh and the Makam HaMikdash. When you do mitzvahs in Eretz Israel, the Ramban says in Chumash and Acharei Mais, the mitzvahs are much more powerful there when they're done in Eretz Israel than when they're done in Chutz Laretz. Mitzvahs are power sources we have for the ultimate maintenance of Klal Yisrael and the maintenance of the world at large, or the universe at large. And Hashem tells us, even a mitzvah like tefillin, the Ramban says, which applies throughout the world, it's not a mitzvah tali b'Eretz Yisrael. When you do it in Eretz Yisrael, it's 1,000 times more powerful in the power of that tefillin you put on there than when you do the same mitzvah in Chutz Laretz. That kedusha of Eretz Yisrael gives us the ability to spiritually raise ourselves to the highest plane through our Tzelem Elokim and the Kedushas HaMakam to levels you can't reach any place else. Avir Derasel Machim, the environment Derasel, is so suffused with Kedusha and Hashem's divine essence that it gives us abilities intellectually to appreciate the Torah, Shebiksav, Tevah Shebapeh, Nis Devanigla, on levels that perhaps cannot be reached when you're only living in Chutz Laretz. It's the place on the face of this earth that Klal Yisrael could reach their apex of spiritual accomplishment, and they can't reach this apex any other place on the face of this earth, no matter how Torahdik it might be, how kosher it might be, how many people are learning there. I hate to say it, Lakewood is not Eretz Israel. The Five Towns is not Eretz Israel. Borough Park and Flatbush is not Eretz Israel. No place is like Eretz Israel except Eretz Israel. And that's why Hashem wanted us to live there. Hashem called Eretz Israel by a unique name. He didn't just say it's our Yerusha, our inheritance. He called it a Morasha, a heritage. The only other thing on the face of this earth that Hashem called the Morasha in the Torah is the Torah itself. Torah Tzivolanu Moshe, Morasha Kehilas Yaakov. A heritage means it's a divine matana given to us, the Torah and Eretz Yisrael, that we as Jews have to use to elevate ourselves, to connect to Hashem on the highest level, as long as we're living in this physical world which we live. And it's a heritage which we have to keep to ourselves as Jews, and pass on b'shleimus in its entirety to all generations to come. We can't give it away to anybody, can't share it with Umat HaOlam. So Eretz Yisrael has a major spiritual functional purpose in Klal Yisrael developing their ultimate godless and terror of the mitzvahs, becoming the ultimate Mamlechus Kain of a Gai Kadosh, the Am Segula, the ultimate place that this can be only accomplished, is in the confines of Eretz Israel. And that's why Chazal say Hashem wanted us to live in Eretz Israel. And the Pasuk says in Balak, Am Levagav Yishkon V'Goyim Lo Yischashov, the Jews will live alone, won't be considered part of the rest of the nations. It wasn't just to give us a Jewish homeland separate from the rest of the Goyim, that we should have a national homeland recognized as the Jewish home. As unfortunately some seculars think, you have to have a national Jewish homeland. Eretz Yisrael was given to us as a makam of spiritual and ultimate tachlis purposes for Klal Yisrael's success in this world, to reach what they're supposed to be, as the Torah describes. And therefore, the spiritual mission of Klal Yisrael can only be fulfilled when we live up to Torah v'mitzvahs and live in Eretz Yisrael. The power of the Bris Bein HaBesarim, the power of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, the power of the Jewish people, is based upon two factors. And I'm going to end with this. And that is what's mentioned in Parshas Baaloscha, in our Parsha B'fnei Atzma, of Bin So'aron, Vayoma Moshe, Kuma Hashem, Uvenucha Yoma. Those two psukim represent a very important phenomenon. And that is the koyach of the Aron HaKodesh, which contained the Torah, the essence of the Torah, Kedushas HaTorah, represented the Kedushas HaShchinah V'Kadosh Baruch for Klal Yisrael. That was the portal that allowed us to relate to Hashem on the highest possible level. That Aron is ultimately, Yenuso, Yisrael is going to ultimately join Klal Yisrael in our kibush of Eretz Yisrael, our conquering enemies, bigger and greater than us. Kedushas HaTorah is going to be the facilitator of Hashem's Shechinah to accomplish that act. The Sarah and the Sias Aaron will have Yenusim Panecha. The Goyim will run away from us. They'll realize we're more powerful than them. Shalai B'Derech HaTeva, as we've seen in world history. But besides giving us the power to physically survive and fight wars and have the ability to conquer, the Aaron also is Mekadesh Eretz of the Mitzvahs HaTlius Eretz Israel. It's only after Kibush V'Yishuv that the Mitzvahs HaTlius Eretz Israel came into existence, the Trumos, the Maestros, and everything else. And the second function of the Torah, and the Aaron HaKodesh Uvenucha Yoimar, is when we built the Beis HaMikdash, as great and beautiful as the Mikdash might have been, and all the tefillos and ceremonies that Shlomo performed to Mekadesh the Makom, what ultimately brought the actual Shechinah of Hashem into the Kodesh HaKadoshim was the placement of the Aron HaKodesh in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. When that Aron was brought in with the Kedushas HaTorah and Kedushas HaShechinah, the bias was full of the Shechinah Hashem at that point in time, the same way the Mishkan was full of Kedushas Hashem because of the Aron being in the actual Mishkan. And according to the Rambam, the Aron is still in Yerushalayim, underground, under the Makam HaMikdash, still giving us the Kedushas HaTorah and Kedushas HaShechinah to this very day, as the Rambam says in Hilchos Beis HaBechira. Shechinah Eina Betela. The Kedusha of Hashem is still there. That's why the Kosel Moravi is so Kaddish to us. We pray that because part of the Kedushas HaMikdash is felt and sensed in the Kosel HaMoravi everybody runs to daven to. But that's only part of the Kedusha HaShechinah. The ultimate will be revealed again and sensed when Bayis Shlishi will be revealed to Mirtz Hashem. The Meraglim did not appreciate Eretz Yisrael for its spiritual qualities, for the haftachos of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. They forgot about all those haftachos. They forgot about the Bris Avos. They forgot about Hashem's promise that ultimately anti-Semitism is not going to be something done with the koyach of Klal Yisrael, but ke'im beruchi, Hashem will eliminate that anti-Semitism. The novel we read this past Shabbos, the Balei Scha. Hashem will facilitate all the promises of the Torah. We have to, however, be maminim b'nei maminim to believe that all that Hashem promised us, going back to the Avos, will be makuyim, as it has been up until now, all the way to the end of time. With that, we should be mispalot HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as ultimately speaking, Yeshua and Kalev did even during our time, that the bris ben habesarim and the promises to the Avos, the bris Avos, should be fulfilled and continue to be fulfilled, as Kalev was mispalel, and the ultimate promise of Hashem to Yeshua and to Moshe, of Kiyol al Keschon, Mechama Amal Hashem, Ba'amal Hudar Vedar, that Hashem will eradicate. You will see anti-Semitism from the face of this earth. Slowly but surely we see little remuzim concerning this happening at this point in time. But a world that will be no longer a world of war and Melchamos, a world of total peace. Those nations that want to continue to war and hate people will be ultimately decimated and destroyed and removed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu personally from the face of this world. We'll live in a peaceful world at the end of time, as the Psukim discuss in Sefer Yeshaya. Weapons will be made into plowshares. All of a sudden the need for weaponry to protect ourselves against Milchamis will be unnecessary. Everybody will live in peace with each other. The non-Jewish world that's left will live in peace with the Jewish people that are left. It'll be an ander welt. Yeshua and Kalev saw this, and that gave them the chizah to go forward against the majority who basically did not show that emuna. Hashem therefore saw the rebellion of Aragam, a rebellion against him. The Torah uses the term vayimasu be'eretz chemda. They showed distaste, distrust for the beloved land of Eretz Israel. They rejected Hashem. Not only did they reject Eretz Israel and the Torah and the promises of Hashem in the Torah, and they were severely punished. Very severely punished. We have to, on the contrary, for tshuva, not only not be mois be'eretz Israel, but we have to have an ava for Eretz Israel. The same way there's a mitzvah in the Torah to have avas Hashem, and avas HaTorah and avas HaBrios, there's a mitzvah for ava for Eretz Israel as well. Let's hope and pray that we'll learn the lesson of Kalev Yeshua, realize the powers and kachas we have because of the Kayach HaTorah, become the Amanif Hashem wanted us to become, and with Emunah Bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we will see the ultimate redemption, the ultimate gulos, and b'sbias Mashiach and binyan habayis. Amen, amen, amen.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.